Blog Talk Radio.
All righty. Well, yes, and good morning, all. The garage is open today. A little problem last week. Unexpected week off, so the garage was closed last week. But the garage is open this morning. And, well, hey, good morning to you all. Brad Housemate coming to you here. Race Trim Motorsports Hour on June 25th. Hey, we got two races to catch up on because, look, I'm sorry, but we cannot just completely ignore that really, really tremendous win by Ryan Blaney 2 weeks ago at Pocono Raceway. So take a look at it for a moment because we've kind of been talking about it here all year long. The year of the young driver just progresses on, right? 2 weeks in a row now. Ryan Blaney 2 weeks ago at Pocono, Kyle Larson with his second of the season last week at Michigan, and absolutely, it's tremendous. I love it. I mean, look, if there is any doubt that there is a whole new generation of NASCAR taking place right in front of you, think again. It's happening, and I don't think it's a bad thing. But we're going to talk about that because, believe it or not, there was actually an op-ed piece out there this past week that says that, and I found it highly interesting. I don't quite know what to make of it, but actually makes the contention that while we're seeing a generational change taking place, particularly in stock car racing, what in fact is going on at the top of the league, at the top of NASCAR, is in fact hurting the young drivers. That's why we've got additional mechanics. We're going to find out what everybody else here thinks as well. Fascinating, fascinating piece. I think we all just sit back and enjoy it for what it is, rather than try to analyze it too deeply. That's just my personal opinion. I'm enjoying it. All right, so where are we now? Because we're going to try to cover two races in one show. And today, we're really going to mix it up because we're going to make left and right turns. Yeah, there's the old joke. As we're out on a road course in Sonoma. Has anybody looked at the qualifying lineup? Because here we go again. The year of the young driver just continues. Really, really interesting. Very, very interesting starting lineup today at Sonoma, particularly in the top, say, seven. Yeah, well, we're going to take a look at that one as well. Reports coming out this past week, we're getting more and more insight into what Junior will be doing once racing is all done. Yeah, this guy's looking to become the next Michael Strahan. He's going to be all over TV, honest to God. Yeah, we'll touch on Dale Junior and what he's planning on doing. I don't know. Elliot Sadler, I don't know, apparently got himself all, he got his panties all in a bunch because Fox Sports didn't interview him. We'll do a little crying with Elliot maybe this afternoon as well. And, breaking news, apparently Ryan Blaney is a Nickelback fan. Yeah, can you, I mean, seriously, can you imagine? I mean, a Nickelback fan? According to Bubba Wallace, his good friend, they have a bromance going, apparently. All right, anyhow, we're going to touch on as much of all of that as we possibly can. We will be joined in here in a short bit. We're expecting to have Christian Lee with us from onpitroad.com. So we will be joined by Christian here very shortly. If anybody else wants to jump in with us, please don't hesitate. We'd love to hear from you. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here in the Frat House Sports Garage. 347-826-9964. Blog Talk Radio finally has their act together today, I think. They were down for most of the day yesterday, albeit I was able to broadcast amazingly Saturday afternoon. But nothing else was working but the studio. It does appear things are working here today. It does appear that I do have the chat room open. So if you want to leave a comment for us in the chat room, along with our good friend Liz, please don't hesitate. You can do that, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. That's how you can get me on Twitter at Frat House Mike. Get over there, give me a follow, and then we can converse that way, or I'll just bring your comments to the air. All right? Okay. Let's get the mechanics in here because we got a big, big show. Well, a lot of things to go over. Side draft. Good morning, side draft. Sidekick.
Everything's great.
It's good to hear. It's good to hear.
And I'm not on mute.
I'll tell you, he's right on time today, isn't he? Of the two races, because we're going to try to cover two here, Pocono and then last week, Michigan. Which one? I guess it was last. I guess you're going to sit here and say, boy, you were really thrilled with what happened last week because that got you your first fantasy win, right? So Michigan probably meant more to you than Pocono, right?
Actually, no.
No?
No. As much as I am so happy to have one of my teams finally have a win notched, that would be the second place in points team. The overall points leader still needs a win. Pocono with Ryan Blaney. Sorry.
Wasn't that awesome?
Hands down. I was like a little kid in my living room.
Yep.
You know, jumping up and down, you know, coaching, you know, I'm sitting here in my rocking chair coaching this kid through the last couple laps with Harvick coming after.
I love how you put that. I'm sitting here in my rocking chair, you know.
You know. Like I'm some sort of virtual crew chief.
Well, I mean, in many respects, you almost kind of are, aren't you? I mean, listen, as you point out, your fantasy teams, number one and number two in points. So who are we? Who are we to dispute the crew chief from trying to help Ryan Blaney out? Who are we to dispute that one?
So, well, it was just so exciting to me.
Yep, it really was.
You know, because as I said, you know, this year, you know, I'm, and last year too, but, you know, I've really, you know, kind of taken a, you know, a liking, you know, a man crush, if you will, to the Wood Brothers and Ryan Blaney, you know, because, you know, they're in the Ford camp, they're, you know, a Penske satellite, you know, and stuff like that, but, you know, but he's, you know, there's something about his character. You know what I mean? He's almost, I want to say he's almost junior-esque in the way he comes across. You know what I mean? Hmm. You know, like the, you know, the whole thing with him and Junior wrecking and having their thing, and you know, you,
oh, the neighbors he, and the beer,
yeah,
and all that,
you know,
sort of thing. Yeah, yeah,
not
yeah.
like that stiff cardboard cutout boom confetti that Jimmy Johnson
yeah.
is.
Gotcha, gotcha.
You
yeah.
know what I mean? So, you know, plus, you know, what's there not to like to root for someone to get their first win? You
I know.
Know. We've talked about with Kyle Larson. You know, like, this kid is up front every week. You know, he's like the, you know, the perpetual bridesmaid. You know what I mean? And, you know, there we go. We get two wins this season. So, you know, these are all kind of, and that's what's so great about, I mean, we've seen changing of the guards numerous times in NASCAR. You know, as you have these almost generational shifts, you know what I mean? Where, mm-hmm. the older drivers come out, newer drivers come in. But I can't remember, with the exception of maybe Jeff Gordon, and I think Jeff did it kind of, he was like the only one. But there, you know, we're not seeing like a gradual changing of the guard, per se. We're seeing a very, that's the word I'm looking for, a very abrupt changing of the guard.
It's,
you know what I mean?
Comprehensive.
With a number of drivers. You know, it's just not a, you know, okay, so-and-so retires, and then another year or two, so-and-so retires, and then, you know, you have, you know, some young drivers come up, but it takes them a couple years to really get into the system and, you know, drive well. This new class, you know, and you can, you know, also include probably the past, you know, two, three seasons of these, you know, young guys that have just come in and, you know, are just lighting the world on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there's so many compared to, like I said, you know, when, you know, like Jeff Gordon came in, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon, but, you know, Jeff kind of set the world on fire by himself. You know what I mean? He didn't really have, you know, other people to really distract from him, you know, young driver.
Well, when he came in, though, it was his first race was Richard Petty's last. So there was a little side story going on. I mean, his first full year, he didn't do much. But look out year two on, he was, you know, on fire.
Right, but he was primarily the only young driver.
No, Bobby Labonte and Kenny Wallace actually came in at the same time. As
him. Oh, yeah, that's, yeah.
Obviously, Kenny Wallace didn't have such a stellar cup career, but Bobby had a pretty decent career over the course of, you know, his career. I mean, maybe not, you know, Jeff Gordon quality, but I think he had at least one championship. So, but other than that, you're right, though. I mean, Jeff Gordon was the future at the time. You know, everybody knew it with his little porn star mustache, and you
yeah.
know, everybody was all on board.
That's dash, man.
That's really
I'm sure
funny.
There's one thing Jeff Gordon regrets in his career. It's
is
probably that
porn star mustache.
You look back. I mean, with all due respect, you look back on Jeff Gordon at that particular time, and you talk about the porn star mustache. But there he was, you know, decked out in pride colors.
Yeah, yeah, the tied rainbow with the
yes!
with
no,
the
no. DuPont.
And,
DuPont rainbow.
Or DuPont, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh God.
It's the same kind of colors, really.
Yeah. Oh gosh. I don't know if anybody saw it, but I posted it up. I didn't actually post it up on Fried House Sports, but I did post it up in our fantasy group Facebook page the other week. And this was after Blaney had won his first cup race here at Pocono. And there was a graphic that we put up, and it was a kind of a moving graphic that illustrated all of the first-time winners since last July, going back to last season. Because remember, you had Chris Buescher in there last
yep.
July. Where was it? Pocono. Was that the Pocono July race?
Ooh.
I want to say it was.
It was rain short. Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was. I think that was Pocono. So that was the second Pocono race. So you had Chris Buescher. This year alone, we've had, well, we had Kyle Larson then. Chris Buescher and Kyle Larson last year. And then this year, we've had Austin Dillon. We've had Danica Jr.
yeah, Ricky Bobby.
Ricky, right. Thank you very much. Okay.
Ricky Patrick, get it right.
Ricky Patrick. Let's see, one, two. Who am I missing? And of course, now Ryan Blaney. I think I'm missing one. Am I missing one in there? But that's five.
I think you are.
That's five. I know. I think I am. That's five. Since
you got Austin Dillon, right?
Yep, Austin Dillon, right. Let's see, Blaney. Well, okay, if you want to throw Newman in there, Newman won one this year, which is rare.
Newman's won a bunch, though. That's
I know.
That's not
a
first-time win.
No, it's not a first-time. But
you could throw that in the – in the parity argument for this season.
Exactly.
If you go back and look at his stats, Ryan Newman has far more wins than you think he does. Because when he rode for Penske, when he was Rusty's teammate, they used to win quite regularly.
Yeah.
He hasn't, of late, he's not been as good, but I bet you he's at least 20 in the win column. Which, you know, most people don't expect.
No. But I mean,
it may even be more.
As far as first-time drivers, all right, I've just counted off five. Guys, I got to tell you, in all the years that I've been covering NASCAR with you guys, I can't ever think of a year, a full year, where we had five first-time winners. It's not happened. I mean, this is why I'm saying that one article that I'm going to reference here in a little bit, the one op-ed piece. I think the author was trying to overanalyze it too much. Just sit back, enjoy the ride. You know, I kind of feel like Andy Reid a little bit. Hey, just sit back, enjoy it. You know, rather than get yourself all. I mean, rather than trying to overanalyze it too much, and I think it's just tremendous that we've had that many first-time winners. I mean, I was thrilled when Austin Dillon got a win. Stenhouse was a complete shock to me. Ryan Blaney, I was ecstatic over. I was thrilled over that. And I'm not even a big Ford guy, but I just thought, I don't know, there's something about the guy, as you point out, Psychic, that's it's weird. There's a magnetism about this guy that I can't quite put my finger on. That, you know, you're just kind of drawn to him a little bit.
Well, and you know, you could even make the point, excuse me, with Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott seems a little cookie cutter. I mean, nice guy, interviews, you know, I'm excited. I want to see him get his first win, you know, because, you know, the family, you know, just like, you know, Ryan Blaney, but he comes across more, you know, the typical Hendrick kind of corporate.
Okay, there you go. There you go. I was just about to ask you, do you think it has something to do with the affiliation? In other words, are you kind of boxing Chase Elliott in there because of the corporate mold of Hendrick versus the Wood Brothers? You know, which, when you take a look at what happened after Pocono, I mean, let's get this one straight. All you had to do was get on social media for about 30 minutes after that race was over. The entire NASCAR world was falling over themselves to praise Wood Brothers and Ryan Blaney. There wasn't a soul
right
out there that said anything negative. All right? So is that what it is? Is it that perhaps maybe we're just, you know, it's the little guy mentality. Hey, Chase Elliott's fine and all. He's a talented driver. We like him. But, hey, he comes out of that, you know, he's that blue blood mold. He comes out of that, you know. Well, of course he's going to have success. But here's this guy over here, Blaney, who, you know, just captures everybody's imagination because it's the American ideal, right?
Mm. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't see Chase Elliott, you know, much different than Brian Blaney, to be honest with you. I kind of look at them as, you know, both of them have parents who came up through this sport. You know, they've been, you know, shown how to do things the right way from day one. You know, like you said, I don't think that Ryan Blaney has any less corporate prestige on him. I mean, essentially, yeah, he drives for the Wood Brothers, but he's essentially a Roger Penske driver. You know, I kind of put Roger Penske in the same class as Hendrick. So essentially, you know, you're kind of looking at the same thing. You're looking at two guys whose dads both, you know, did well in the sport. You know, one, obviously, Chase's dad did a little better, but, you know, Dave Blaney, you know, he had many, many years for sure in the Cup, and he's won. So he did all right. You know, I think these are just both a product of, you know, they were groomed to do this from day one, and they're both doing very good. I am actually surprised Blaney won before Elliott, because I think Elliott, you know, might have a slight advantage with, you know, equipment and stuff. But now we'll see. I mean, we'll see how long it takes him to get one.
Well, actually, I think the fact that Blaney is in a Ford this season is what's giving him the upper hand to Chase Elliott. Because, you know, we haven't really seen.
Yeah, it's a good
point. I mean, with the exception of Jimmy Johnson, boom confetti. You know, we really haven't seen a whole lot out of the Chevys. And Hendrick, you know, obviously being the, you know, the head of that whole real organization, really.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
But then again, we've also seen Chip Ganassi. As I'm thinking through my head over this, you know, and so this is kind of off the top of my head, but you know, Chip Ganassi's having a good year.
Yep.
Actually, you know, they're on the, you know, they've got the front row for the first time.
I think today's lineup is just stinking fascinating, all the way back to, like, as I pointed out, number seven, because I think Danica's in seventh. So the entire front seven, I think, is just fascinating that you got Ganassi, Chip Ganassi up front with not just Kyle Larson, who's on his second pole in a row, okay? But then you got Jamie McMurray. And then who's been rivaling Kyle Larson for the past couple of weeks? But Truex and Kyle Busch. And who's three and four? Truex and Kyle Busch. So it's a fascinating, in my opinion, starting lineup today, because in many respects, it almost kind of mirrors what we're seeing going on right now in NASCAR racing. You know, Allmendinger coming in there at number five. Well, we already know Allmendinger, a good road course driver, right? Danica at seven. Also a good road course driver, but coming in there, six? And then Ryan Blaney. Here we go with Ryan Blaney again, number seven. So a fascinating lineup.
Busher is up there.
Yep, nine. Yep, and
you
number
know,
nine.
Like, wait, what? Where did Chris Busher come from? I was qualifying, and I'm like, what?
You know what that's all about, right? That's A.J. Allmendinger's teammate. He had a little coaching help there from AJ.
Oh, I'm sure.
And he even said as much in the interview, that AJ not only pointed out to him what were the key turns and how to approach them, you know, and, you know, that, plus he also showed him some mistakes he was making here and there. So, I mean, you got AJ Allmendinger, you know, taking that learning curve, you know, and straightening it right out. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, but let's be honest about Chris Buescher. While Chris Buescher is a feel good story, he's kind of a back of the packer. He's, you know, he's back there running around with Danica all the time. You know what
he's
I mean?
Not even behind her.
You know, so, you know, while, I understand who his teammate is and stuff, it's just, you know, very atypical to see Chris Buescher at the front. You know, but again, you know, it's still, you know, like I said, it's a good feel good story when you look at, who all's up there in the top 12.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, given the stat that, 10 of the last 15 race winners have come from the top 12.
Yeah, I mean, you got Suarez in there at 11 today.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's it really is. But like I said, I think in many respects, today's lineup on a road course kind of reflects what we're seeing at this very moment, at least over the past couple of weeks in NASCAR, which I just find really, really interesting. I just, when the qualifying came out yesterday afternoon, I was like, whoa, this is a really interesting, lineup. All right,
did you by chance get to see qualifying?
I did not. I saw the results after the fact. I did not watch it. I know Brandon did.
I watched it, and it was some of the best coverage that I've seen from a almost from a geek standpoint. They were doing ride-alongs.
Yep.
As they were qualifying,
they did a nice job.
They had a camera like on the splitter, so you saw a ride go, and I don't know how they do that. Because you're blind. You know what I mean? You can't see, you almost have to have that track memorized in your head. Because you can't see stuff coming. Then they had, they rode along with AJ Allmendinger kind of from the back, the left rear of the driver compartment, showing him driving around. And then they showed Danica. Danica actually had a helmet cam. A special helmet cam that they got approved and everything, so that you could see, basically as close to what a driver sees as possible. So you see the car going up, and you see all the lights blinking on the dash, and how she shifts and stuff like that. It was really cool, especially on a road course, because there's like you were saying in your intro, we've got left and rights this week, and then you're hitting bump.
Thinking of the one curve. There's the one turn in there. That's up at Watkins Glen where you got the bus stop. But the one bump. There's one turn in there where there's it almost looks like a speed bump, where you'll see the cars come around the turn, and they take it so sharp that the two right. You'll see the rear right wheel is up off the ground. I mean, to me, that is just,
And Jeff was explaining yesterday in the race, the reason you see them hit that curb so aggressively, they use that curb to turn the car, because you hit it and it forces the front of the
car
around.
It actually rocks the car in the direction that you want it to go, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
How about that? Huh. That is interesting. All right. Well, I didn't see it. That you're right. That does sound right. Like it was rather interesting.
What he's saying there can lead to some bad effects. That's why Mack Enzis is starting on the back, because on one of his landings, he knocked off the belt of the oil pump and blew the engine to the moon, and because the engine exploded. So, there can be detrimental effects to some of those hard landings, but it is cool to watch.
And
the
other thing that Jeff was explaining is that there's basically you'll see teams, they basically run two kind of setups. There's one where they have the splitter down on the ground, like you would at a regular track. Okay.
Right.
Those are the guys you'll see. They'll stay off the curbs. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to get the car down low so that when they get on those straightaways, they can get a lot of speed. And then you'll have the other guys. They'll raise the car up some and have that splitter actually off the ground. And those are the guys you'll see hitting the curbs, because they're using the curbs to get around the track.
Yep. Hmm. It'll be interesting, that's for sure. I love watching road course races.
And we have a sighting this week.
What's that?
I'm sorry, we have a what?
We have a said head sighting.
Oh yeah.
I know. When it was announced the other day, it was really funny because when it was announced the other day that he was going to be running in this race, I was laughing my butt off at the number of people that were out on social media who were all excited over the fact we got Boris Said in the lineup.
Well, a little note on Boris Said that during the qualifying broadcast, they announced that this is his last year in NASCAR. He's 55. He's going to race this race, and he's going to race at Watkins Glen, and then he's done doing NASCAR events. He's, you know, going to slow down a little, I guess. So he kind of is basically announced that he's retiring from NASCAR fill-in roles, I suppose, at the end of this season.
And at 55, he still has all that air.
Yep.
Yeah, really.
So the set heads better get their, you know,
get their fill.
Better get watching. Get their fill, because you only got this in Watkins Glen this year, and then he's going to just stick to sports car, I guess, till he actually retires from everything. So just thought I'd bring that up since we're talking about Boris there.
He's coming out at the 34th position. I just wanted to point that out. 34th position. We only have a field of 38 here today at Sonoma. Now, I'm just curious. So, wasn't there talk, Brandon, that they might throw which race am I thinking that they might put the road course in for the chase this year?
Charlotte.
Was it Charlotte?
It's next year. Yeah, they've already said they're going to do it next year.
Okay. Okay. All right. Because I was going to say, I mean, you know, yeah, obviously Charlotte would probably, you know, obviously that's going to be a smaller road course. But,
you know,
I mean,
I think he's kind of frustrated because when he first started doing this, he would get good equipment, you know, like a better team. I think the team he's driving for this race has like no sponsorship on it. You know, obviously, as you just pointed out, he's all the way in the back. And that's more the equipment than him. I can tell you, he's a really good road course racer. And, you know, for him to be that far back, you know, it's not an ideal setting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
cause he looks smooth in qualifying.
No, that's cause he's slow.
When
you're slow, you're always going to look smoother.
Truex looked fairly smooth.
Yeah.
In qualifying.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But, he's not in the best car, or else he wouldn't be 34.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like five or six non-regulars in this race, and there's some of them ahead of him. So, you know what I mean? You got that Billy Johnson in the 43 car.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a dedicated road race guy and apparently was turning some heads, you know, during practice and qualifying. And that car may actually, you know, do something pretty well.
Yeah, we got some different names in here. We got some different names in here today. You just pointed out Billy Johnson coming out of the 26th spot. Alan Day out of the 32nd spot. Josh Balicki out of the 33rd. Boris Said, 34. Kevin O'Connell, 36. Now, we got some different names in here, and yet only a field of 38. Interesting.
You always get a little extra on this one. Because you'll get some of the guys who live on the West Coast and don't get a chance to get to any other NASCAR event. And because it is such a specialized event, a lot of the regulars sit it out, and it is so far from home. So basically they just got to show up. Because like you said, they don't even have a full field. So,
right.
And that's with five guys who don't normally race. So that means five guys who normally race didn't make the trip because it wasn't worth it to them to go across the country to, you know, be a backmarker, essentially. Some of those same cars have different drivers in them, but, you know.
Boris Said today is driving, just for everybody's interest here. Morissette is driving the Little Joe's Autos and Curtis Key Plumbing Chevy.
The number 33 Chevy. And he qualified 34th then.
Yeah, it's basically a green car with numbers on it. There's, like, very little sponsor. I mean, even what you just said, if it's on there, it's on there very small. It's a big, bright green car with white numbers, essentially.
Curtis Key Plumbing, the local Roto-Rooter of Omaha, Nebraska. Anyhow, just a review at Pocono 2 weeks ago. Ryan Blaney came in first. Kevin Harvick came in second. Eric Jones, good race, came in third. Kurt Busch, Brad Keselowski, Martin Truex came in sixth. Kyle Larson, seventh. Chase Elliott, eighth. Kyle Busch, nine. And Matt Kenseth came in 10th. Interesting, guys. The Toyotas were running well that week. Again, a lot of them up front, but, you know, it was interesting, you know, Sidekick, you were saying, we haven't seen much from the Chevys with the exception of Jimmy Johnson. We haven't seen anything from the Toyotas with the exception of Martin Truex. I mean, that's been the bottom line. There it is. So kind of a similar situation. Not only the year of the young driver, but it does seem that it's, you know, I guess, as you're pointing out, kind of the year of the Ford, too. Final lap. This is the final lap from Pocono 2 weeks ago.
White flag. One lap to go, sponsored by Credit One Bank.
Boy, he let Blaney really drive into the corner. Nice job off of turn one for Ryan Blaney.
Gapped him a little bit. Got to get across this tunnel. If he gets across the tunnel, he's got it made. The calm voice of spotter Josh Williams.
Ooh, little
Blaney.
Loose, little loose.
Here he comes. He's looking.
Oh, Harvick had to get out of the throttle a little bit. Almost got in the wall.
400 miles. It's going to come down to one corner. That flat turn three. And Blaney beats Harvick back to the gas. Harvick looks slow. And here they come. The winner at Pocono, Ryan Blaney for the Wood Brothers.
Wow.
What a race.
Wow.
I'm sorry you can't talk, Bob, but I'm so proud of you today. Love you.
That's going to be one popular victory.
Look at that team. Are they excited or what? Jeremy Bowen's, that whole crowd, Lynn Wood, the whole bunch.
We told everybody Ryan Blaney was going to win a race.
A little bump from Keselowski.
Oh, nice job.
How about that? First Cup win in his 68th start. Finished second back at Daytona. We may get to 16. He's the 10th different winner to win in 2017. Fourth driver to get his first win at Pocono. And the 19th driver to go to victory lane for the Wood Brothers.
I think he's going to have body damage when he's over with. Everybody's running up banging on him.
He didn't have any damage on the race during the race.
What a job.
I mean, it's interesting because even just in that clip alone, you hear, as you know, what I described even at the beginning, you know, just kind of the jubilation, you know, the excitement of it all, you know, the fact that so, you know, it just kind of overtook everybody. Two interesting points that they brought up there in their commentary. One, you know, I guess it was DW who said, you know, well, we told everybody that Blaney was going to get a win. I kind of feel the same way. We, you know, we here on this show have been saying for the better part of a number of weeks prior, you know, Ryan Blaney's going to get a win. Ryan Blaney's going to get a win. That was the first thing they said. The second thing that I found interesting, darn it all, what did I just hear them say? Anyhow, it just slipped my mind. Darn it.
What makes it, excuse me, phlegm. you know what makes it so funny about Darrell's comment was earlier in the race, when they, you know, they were looking at young drivers who were going to get their first time win this season, and both of them said no to Ryan Blaney and said yes to Chase Elliott.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Which is why, I think why he made that comment about, yeah, we told y'all he was going to get a win.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's right. Because it was that race, I think, where they made that prediction, right?
Yeah.
It was that race. It was spoken of. Where,
and I'm sitting there laughing, you know, because here they are, like, midway through the race, you know, talking about, you know, first time, you know, winners this season. And, you know, both of them gave a no to Ryan Blaney. I'm like, come on now. This kid's going to get a win this season.
They couched their no's by saying because of the way some of the adversities and stuff that the team, like, they were doing a lot of stupid stuff wrong. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
And some of their, you know, that the team lost them races earlier in the year that they should have won. So I think that's what they were referring to more.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's do this. We've finally been able to connect with Christian Coley of OnPitRoad.com. So let's get Christian's thoughts real quick on what happened two weeks ago. Christian, we're just reviewing 2 weeks ago because, of course, we didn't have a program last week. But we're just taking a look back at Pocono for a moment. And all of us were saying the Blaney win was something magical. I mean, unlike anything that we actually saw from, say, Austin Dillon or you know, Chris Buescher last year or Kyle Larson last year. For some reason or another, the Ryan Blaney win was extra special as far as the first win goes. At least that was the impression we had. What was your impression of it?
Well, I was in the press box for that race, and it was very interesting. One of the classiest moves I've ever seen is the fact that when Ryan Blaney crossed the finish line, everybody in the press box gave Ryan Blaney a standing ovation and clapped.
How about that?
Because everybody felt, I think it's special because of the fact that so many people said, we'll win, and everything for them went wrong. That's what everybody was looking at when it came to Pocono when he was leading. I remember looking over at my friend and I said, something's going to go wrong for that 21 team because everything that's could have gone wrong this year has for the 21. I mean, they've had two axle failures. They've had multiple pit stop problems. I mean, it's just the common errors that you could have week to week if you don't iron out. And you're going to have those weeks where everything goes perfect and you'll be victory lane. And I think with Ryan Blaney, that one at Pocono was just a little bit more special because of the fact that so much had gone wrong and finally something went right for the team.
I had pointed out that, you know, does it have something to do with the kind of almost Cinderella story of the Wood brothers? In other words, you know, is that the reason it just seemed like the entire NASCAR nation kind of jumped out of their seats, you know, the whole thing? I mean, it was just, you know, could that have been it, that it was, you know, the American underdog story?
Well, seeing the Wood brothers win at any time and being in person for it is pretty cool. I pointed it out to a lot of people that was pretty cool. This year, I've already seen 3 and 21 go back to victory lane in one season. I've been in attendance for both of them, and it's pretty cool. Happy to see a lot of people get their first wins. But I think it's a team that has been good in the past, but they've had their seasons where they haven't been very up in the news. I mean, you've got the seasons where Bill Elliott drove for them and they were finishing last every week. So, I mean, basically they're making the same transition that Furniture Row is making.
Mm-hmm.
Furniture Row used to be a team that finished in the back of the pack every week, and then suddenly they started winning things, and, well, now they're in discussion every winning race.
Yep. If I'm not mistaken, that was your first trip to Pocono. Let me ask you, what was your general impression of Pocono Raceway?
Needless to say, I'm going back in the end of July, so
okay.
I really liked it. It's a nice track. The surroundings was nice. The staff at Pocono were very friendly. Everything was really good. I was impressed. it had to impress me because of the fact that I'm going to Pocono instead of going back to Iowa in a couple weeks. But, you know, scheduling conflicts happen all the time, and this is just one of those where if it's got a cup race, I'd rather do it than come to Iowa and see an Xfinity race, which is where I am right now.
All right. All right. So, anyhow, that, you know, Pocono, but that was 2 weeks ago. Let's move it up. Let's jump it up again to last Sunday where we were at Michigan International Speedway. And, well, third time in a year, second time this season, Kyle Larson gets the win. Came in second in stage one, came in third in stage two, and ultimately got the checkered flag at the end. Yeah, it was interesting because one of the things, there's two things I'm kind of tracking this season. Two things. One was said by Sidekick. One was said by Christian. Sidekick, you said, I remember this. I almost had to go pull the clip on it. I just don't remember which show it was. But you made the comment earlier on in the season, once Kyle Larson starts winning, he could be the next Jimmy Johnson, was your words. Wow. I just thought it was kind of prophetic. Because as we're seeing, second week in a row this week at Sonoma, Larson on the pole, second week in a row, second win of the season last year. Certainly does sound, I mean, it no reason to believe your prophecy might not be correct.
Right, he's only one win, but he's only one win behind Jimmy.
Yep.
There's a couple guys that are one win behind Jimmy, but you know, yeah, you could see it. You know, he could pick up another win, and you know, he's the points leader again. Him and Truex keep trading it. Yeah, you know, the thing with Truex is he keeps getting all these stage wins.
Yeah.
You know, it was almost like, I mean, he's got this figured out. You know what I mean? This stage racing thing. Versus some of the other guys. But, you know, but he's another one. You know, he's so close to getting these wins. You know, he can win two of the three segments in a race. He just can't finish that third one for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting because the other kind of prophetic thing that I'm keeping track of this season was the prediction by Christian, who said, look for us to have 16 winners this season. And where do we stand at this point, guys? Is it 10? I think it's 10.
Yes.
So
10, yeah, 10 unique. Yeah.
We've got 11 races remaining. And only six spots left. And you've got people. You, think about this. Kyle Busch is yet to win. Kevin Harvick is yet to win. Chase Elliott, we think, is probably going to get himself a win. Denny Hamlin, no win. Matt Kenseth, no win. So there are people. I mean, it is very, very possible we could see 16 winners in one season. I mean, I find it absolutely unbelievable, but I think you gotta like that, right? I mean, I'm one that's always screaming about parity in sports. I don't think there's anything more important, in my opinion, in sports than parity. And what more displays parity than that? I mean, I think it's tremendous. So hats off, Christian. I like your observation. I'm actually pulling for it. I hope it comes true.
The big thing me and my friend were talking about the other day, and this is the thing that junior fans are going to have to start to realize. Yes, Dale Jr. can win next week in the Daytona. The only problem is, if we have 16 different winners, points begin to matter, and Dale Jr. has not been very good at points racing. So if we have more than 16 winners, then points are going to have to start coming involved. And Junior is about at the bottom of the totem pole at the moment. I'm not saying that there can be a turnaround, but I'm just pointing out that Junior may miss the chase with a win. And if that happens, I guarantee you NASCAR fans will be very unhappy with NASCAR.
Woo. Wow.
But that's one of the big things we're looking at. I mean, we got this weekend. Basically, I've got three names that I can put in a hat that's going to win this weekend. Next weekend, it's Daytona. I can't put in anybody's name. Everybody's name goes in the hat because anybody can win. If the Coke Zero 400 is as violent as the 500 was, then anybody can win. But then we start going into parts of the season where there's going to be drivers that we know have won there before and can win there again. Those drivers include like Kyle Busch at Bristol and many different drivers. And so I think we're getting to that stage of the season where things could get interesting and things could get kind of controversial there sometimes. So, I mean, the Xfinity Series race last night ended very confusingly, with most of the faster cars being lapped down, and William Byron was basically just the only one that was left at the front that was really fast enough to win the race. And so that race kind of ended confusing, and so I think it's just going to get interesting.
Interesting. Christian, let me get your thoughts on this for a second, because I'm glad you brought up William Byron. Byron's name, if I'm not mistaken, has been brought up as a potential replacement for Junior. Am I right on that?
You're correct. The last word that we've gotten is basically Byron is not going to move up yet. Unless
okay.
he can magically pull out lots of wins this year and show that he's ready, because in my opinion, he's not. So that's one thing that we were discussing yesterday in Iowa. The recent talks about replacements with Junior, we've heard Brad Keselowski's name has started to be thrown in the hat, but I don't see that happening. We've also heard Matt Kenseth's name being thrown in the hat, but with Matt being 45 years old, I don't see him moving anywhere without retiring.
Right. Right.
We've also got Alex Bowman in the hat, and there's a few Xfinity stars that could bring sponsorship that I think will be in the hat. But right now, I think your leading candidate has to be Alex Bowman, without a doubt. The big thing that they're having trouble right now is trying to sell sponsorship for everybody. And so I think things are about to get entertaining. Silly season is starting to pick up. It's one of my favorite years, parts of the season.
Yeah.
It's when we start figuring out who's going to be racing next year. And I heard this silly season is going to be very exciting, because of the fact I'm on the inside, I can hear a little bit more of where people are going to head. And I'm really looking forward to seeing if some of these things I've heard are actually going to come true. And all I've got to say is if some of them do come true, it will surprise a lot of people. And there's going to be one team that's not going to be in business anymore after next season or after this season.
Ooh. Wow, I almost want to grill you on that one a little bit further. But with regard to replacing Junior, you know, you bring up names of, pardon the pun, retreads. With the success of the young drivers, wouldn't it make more sense to go with one of the younger drivers? I think we just lost Christian. Unfortunately, hopefully he gets back with us. He tried calling in before and he was just getting a busy signal. So I don't know. Although I'll tell you what, we got one of our fans on the line with us. We got Greg Oliver from San Antonio. So let's get Greg in. Greg had no problem calling in. So good morning, Greg. Long time no hear.
Good morning. So glad to talk to you guys. It's been a while.
It has. How are things in Texas today? It's hot, right?
Oh, yeah, it's hot. We're hoping for rain. We need it bad. I'm right now filling up my goat's water because, you know, it's so hot they drink so much water. I got to fill their trough every single day. So that's what we're doing down here in Texas.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think you've got quite a bit of land around you, don't you?
Well, I'm on 15 acres. And,
okay.
I have 10 goats and 6 dogs. So I'm a computer programmer by day, and on the weekends I'm a rancher. So it's kind of a good mixed life.
A rancher and a NASCAR fan. What's on your mind?
Heck yeah. And you can call me a redneck. That's fine. You know, I take that as a badge of honor. Hey, I was just calling just to say it's so much fun doing this with you guys, but also this week because it's a race course, or a road course rather. I'm kind of thinking a different strategy than I normally do, and I'm throwing a couple of guys into the mix, and I'll go ahead and tell you. One of them is AJ Allmendinger, because he kind of does pretty well on these courses. And one of them, who hasn't done anything in a long time, just throwing it out there, I know it's crazy, but I'm throwing in Clint Bowyer, and I want to know your thoughts on that.
Sidekick, why don't you jump in on – I mean, look, Allmendinger, we've talked about Allmendinger. I mean, Allmendinger is – I mean, it's well known. I mean, he could almost sit as a, you know, if he wasn't driving regularly, he would be a road course ringer. I think he would be what we would call a road course ringer, right, guys? Because
he's legit on an oval, though.
No, what I'm saying
he's
is
not,
if he wasn't
a road
driving,
course ringer is a guy who can really drive the road course but can't cut it in regular cup. And I think Allmendinger's proved he can cut it.
No, and that's what I meant. If he wasn't driving the regular series, but came in for the road courses, we would know why. I mean, because this is where it seems Allmendinger shines. But I don't know, guys. Any thoughts? Clint Bowyer. I've heard Clint Bowyer's name thrown around this week.
Clint Bowyer has turned into one hell of a road course racer. When he was with MWR, him and Martin Truex together were really good at becoming a road course, you know, team. And Clint Bowyer is surprisingly good.
Busy.
Clint Bowyer is surprisingly good on road course.
I went out. She sent me. I sent her that we're leaving today.
I'll just put Chris Yard on hold there for a second. Sidekick, any thoughts on? I mean, we were talking a little bit about this lineup today. One of the things I was saying, Greg, when you take a look at the lineup, the qualifying lineup for today, right through to, I mean, the top 10, very, very interesting lineup at Sonoma. Larson and McMurray up front. So you got Chip Ganassi up front. Truex and Kyle Busch, both of whom have run Sonoma very, very well. AJ Allmendinger, who we know runs well. Danica Patrick, who's not a bad road course driver, is number six. You got Blaney in there, who's been everybody's favorite this year. Chase Elliott, Chris Buescher in nine. Even when you get down to number 11, you got Daniel Suarez. Sidekick, any thoughts on, I guess what we're doing is we're passing along a little fantasy advice to Greg.
Well, obviously, AJ, I mean, you know, definitely a good pick to put on your roster this week. And, you know, Clint Bowyer, I don't think is that bad of a pick either. He might kind of be a sleeper pick, I think, in some circles. So if you're trying to, you know, if you're in a tight position race in fantasy, Clint Bowyer might be a good guy to put on your roster to try to roll the dice and, you know, see if you can make some moves. He's coming in, you know, he qualified 13th, so he's not that far. You know, we said that, 10 of the 15 last winners came out of the top 12. So, and we haven't seen a pole winner, I think, since Jeff Gordon in 2003 or 2004. So, you know, Clint's definitely not a bad choice.
Thank you. That's kind of what I was thinking. I'm pretty comfortable with my position in the standings, you know, and I pretty much think I'm in the chase no matter what, and I'm just throwing something out there just to have fun. Just I actually picked Clint to win just for the hell of it, just to see what happens.
So you're pulling a Chad Knaus, Jimmy Johnson. You got yourself locked in. Now you're going to mess around.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, he's testing. He's testing.
Yeah.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, right?
Yeah.
That's a proven formula.
Fun and see what happens. Can't wait for the race. Hey, my goats are coming up, and I need to go get some corn out for them. They look pretty hungry. So I just wanted to call in and say hi, guys, and I'm still here and having fun and keep on doing what you're doing. Really enjoy the show.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it. And the best to Nicole.
Okay, will do. Take care, man.
Bye. Nice to hear from San Antonio, Texas. Let me get Christian back in, because we lost Christian there for a couple of minutes. We were just hearing from one of our good friends there in San Antonio. Christian, he likes Clint Boyer today. I have a funny feeling you do as well.
Yep, that's who I have picked for today's win, is Mr. Boyer,
is that French for?
Yeah, I have Clint Boyer, so I'm hoping he wins. You know, I need something to go right in my eat my dust picks, because I'm dead last by like 100 points. So, you know,
laughing at you.
I kind of need to take a chance. But everything's great.
Yeah, right. Everything's great.
Clint Boyer can win today. But let's just say I won't be surprised about anything. So.
It's like cars.
You wouldn't be surprised by anything. Would you be surprised by a Danica Patrick win?
What was the question?
I said, would you be surprised by a Danica Patrick win?
You know, she qualified sixth, so I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, I know.
She's a good road course racer, too.
Exactly. I mean,
matter of fact,
is the kind of,
they had a visor
well,
cam on her.
Because she gets practice during the regular season at turning right, so.
They had a visor on. They had a visor cam on her during qualifying, which was really cool. It gave you a really good perspective of what the driver actually sees and how much they get bounced around. And she could sure point that car in the right direction, that's for sure. You can't argue with that.
There ain't
she did a really good job
this weekend either, so.
You know, if she were to get a win, though, it would probably end all the rumors about her leaving at the end of this season. I don't know.
No, she might announce that today if she wins.
If she wins. Oh, okay. All right. Well,
instead of making everybody predict and think everything's great. No,
that's true. But, you know, that's been the kind of season it's been, guys. I mean, you know, almost not out of the realm of possibility that, you know, something crazy could happen and Danica Patrick ends up in the winner's circle. I mean, that would be really... really wild.
She'd probably have a heart attack, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
She cried.
Oh, it's quite exciting when that happens.
It, you know, I think in some respects it would be, actually. But, I mean, I'm... You know, as you just pointed out, Brandon, she's not bad at road courses, and she's qualified sixth here today. I'm just curious, Sidekick, would there ever be a circumstance where you would consider putting Danica, might this be one, where you would put Danica on a roster?
I'm trying to remember. I did put her on my roster one time, and I think it literally came down to, you know, money. But, and I, you know, did it as a kind of joke. But, yeah, there's I don't even think with her being sixth today, I would even entertain the idea of putting her on my roster. I mean, let's go see. While you're doing that, I'm going to take a peek and see where she's how much she costs.
What?
Oh,
yeah,
she's $9.25.
That's actually...
Nine and a quarter.
Yeah, I mean, That
she's
could
actually
fit.
On
that...
my roster.
Today? Really? How about that?
Yep. Why not?
All right. Okay. Well, somebody's doing it. All right. That's cool. All right. Well, we'll have to keep track of it. I think that's kind of neat, actually.
I ain't picking her to win. Don't get me wrong.
No. I got you.
Watch your win.
I still got Matt DiBenedetto on mine.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because you just said, you got to take chances because you're dead last and eat my dust. I don't know. It seems to me you've taken more chances, Christian, than anybody else this year. Eric Jones a couple of weeks in a row.
I think you got a better shot at it.
Well, at least Eric Jones finished the race last week.
That's true.
Yeah, that's good.
I've had Eric Jones on my roster now for, I think, 3 or 4 weeks in a row. Today was the first day I actually took him off my roster.
He's struggling a bit at this route course. I have to give that poor guy has already made a couple. He's already into his backup car. Had a couple excursions off the track.
Yep.
He's not adapting well.
How about Kevin Harvick winning the K&N race yesterday? I need to point that out.
That's cool.
That kid is going places.
Yeah.
He's ready for a truck ride. I don't know who
Somebody's
Kevin Harvick is,
smart.
But I think he's ready for a truck ride.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. That kid needs to be brought up.
That's worse than Kyle Busch beating the toddlers in the Xfinity Series. I seriously don't think you can go any lower.
Yeah, but at the same time...
Well, modifieds are lower, but...
I heard a lot of the Cup regulars were racing that race just to get the extra laps at Sonoma.
Ryan Blaney also ran it.
Daniel Suarez and Kevin Harvick.
There you go.
I think Kyle Busch needs to run next week.
No.
Because
he likes beating up on the truck drivers. That's
Kevin
Kyle Busch's thing.
Beating up on the K&N series drivers.
But he only did a one-off deal. Kyle regularly beats up on the truck guys.
Yep. Yeah, don't get me started. I'm a big Kyle Busch fan, but I just can't stand seeing that. It galls me. Real quick though, before we get over to other topics, interesting article here, guys, about Kyle Larson. If you put in his win from last Sunday, combine it with then, believe it or not, some dirt track racing that he did on Monday and Tuesday. The guy won 3 races in 3 days. It's well known that Kyle Larson is a big-time sprint car dirt tracker, and he won apparently on Monday and Tuesday, and not as well as Sunday. I then found it interesting that article came out then like within the past week with Tony Stewart coming out and saying, "I'll tell you right now, I'd take Kyle Larson over here on my team any day." Interesting, kind of similar these two guys, aren't they? Huh? Tony Stewart and Kyle Larson coming from similar backgrounds, so it wouldn't. Kind of not a surprise that Tony Stewart would.
I'm kind of curious on Larson's contract because I've heard his name be mentioned a couple places. I don't know if he's signed next year or not.
He has not signed a contract with anybody yet, are you?
So he is a free agent at the end of this season?
Well, Chip Ganassi's basically said the lineup will stay the same. But, yeah, he could be a free agent. There's a very good chance at it.
Wow.
But I don't think he'll...
Boy, that'll hurt. Chip Ganassi needs... They need to tie their anchor to that guy right now, if they can.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I think they almost might be making a mistake to
well,
let him walk.
You know, Chip Ganassi Racing, though, might be an issue with sponsors because Target, I believe Target stopped sponsoring the IndyCar program. And, you know, I don't know if he might be having sponsor problems, you know, at the moment. Or at least doesn't have long-term commitments to certain things yet. I don't know. Because, see, I would think for him to be able to sign up Larson long-term, he'd also have to have Target sign up long-term and, you know, match the deals, kind of like they do with, you know, Jimmy Johnson, Lowe's, and Canales. Every time they renew, all three of them renew, you know? I don't know. I don't know where Ganassi stands on that at the moment. I just know watching on IndyCar, you don't have Target no more. So
no,
I'm
you
like,
don't.
Not an
that's
Indy.
That's a good point. And Target was on, they had a couple of cars
Target,
at Indy, actually.
Target's been on his IndyCar for years.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's the relationship soured or if Target just can't afford to do it anymore. I don't know what the thing is, but if it's going to, if it ends up affecting the Cup program too, then you're going to see he may not be able to keep him, you know, like
yeah,
he may not be able to pay him.
It wouldn't surprise me when you take a look at the retail business. The retail business is tanking, and it wouldn't surprise me if that was just a cutback situation. Well, anyhow, that's there's an assignment for Christian. Christian, keep your ear to the ground. We're very curious as to what's going to happen with Kyle Larson. So first sign that you hear anything, hey, let us know.
Kyle Larson to the 10 at Stewart Haas Racing. There you go. Replacing Danica.
Not impossible.
When she retires.
Not impossible.
I would approve that move.
Might make a lot of sense. That would be, wow. Interesting.
Man, that would certainly set up Stewart Haas Racing for the next several years. I mean, you already got Harvick and Kurt Busch who are, you know, championship, you know, pedigree drivers. You got a guy like Larson in there. And Boyer, you know, as much of Boyer, I think Boyer adds value as a teammate. I know Sidekick's not a big fan of Boyer because of the whole way MWR shook out and stuff, but you know, I think Clint does bring something to the table.
Agreed. Yep, I agree.
Well, and the other problem I have with Boyer is Boyer didn't do himself any favors the last 2 years.
Well,
you know, complaining
he should have shut his mouth. He knew he was going to get into a good car this year. The last year driving that Beach Scott Motorsports car that was real garbage and he was whining about it. It's like, yeah, what are you going to do? You should have sat out the year then or something. I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, deal with it.
You know how many people are sitting in the, you know, sitting in the stands right now that, you know, would love to be in your position?
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know? I hear you.
All the fans that would be itching to sit in his ride.
Yeah, I hear you. We certainly weighed in. We certainly weighed in on Clint Boyer last year when he was doing his whining. But I hear you, Psychic. You're a perfect example of the type of person that would be itching to get into, you know, a back of the pack ride. I mean, you know, that wouldn't bother you in the least. You'd find a way to get the Piggly Wiggly up front.
Oh, you know it. And probably not make any friends.
Oh, no, you wouldn't. But listen, you would fit right in. You would fit right
in. I'd be like a Legato.
You would fit right in with this strategy. Interesting op-ed piece, guys, this past week over on USA Today. What was the date on this? June 18th. They're handing out participation trophies in NASCAR now, such as the State of America's top stock car racing circuit, that the leader of each stage of the race, they're divided into threes, earns bonus points towards the end of the season playoffs. Goes on to talk about Martin Truex led after the first two stages, 60 laps, and then 120. Never mind he didn't win the Firekeepers Casino 400. That honor went to Kyle Busch, Dividing the races into stages and awarding points is new to NASCAR this season, and it smells like desperation. The thinking is that race fans will follow more intently. What the sport needs is rivalries and personalities. Until NASCAR develops them, the new rules are nothing more than empty calories like a box of stale Twinkies. Wow. Comments from anybody on that one? I mean, in some respects, I got it. We're looking at stage points and we're saying, okay, well, we're handing out participation trophies. Okay, I can maybe make the connection, make the analogy, but I don't know. It seemed a little harsh to me.
He's on a couple things. You know, I don't think NASCAR did a great job explaining the stage racing from the jump and what it means. And I'm even sitting here today, I know they're accumulating playoff points, but I really don't know how that will affect them in the playoffs. You know, I don't understand the whole picture of it just yet till we see it happen. And the rivalry issue, he's spot on. NASCAR needs that. NASCAR needs, you know, the ability to cheer for somebody and boo for somebody else. That's kind of the way NASCAR has always been, you know. And right now you have so many changes, mass changes, you know. You lost Gordon Stewart and Earnhardt all within a, you know, 2-3 year period. It's just like, you know, that's a pretty big change. So, you know, hopefully we'll develop some rivalries among these young guys, you know. And that might help NASCAR going forward.
Interesting.
Could you imagine a good Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney rivalry? Like where they start banging each other and talking trash back and forth? That's what NASCAR needs.
Well, you get some of that, don't you? I mean, I don't know. Are you talking
you get
about
flare-ups.
Are
you get flare-ups.
Right, okay. You're
and then they
about
calm
it being
down.
Sustained. You're talking about
yeah,
being
a sustained,
like
yes. Yes.
Well, how
have
do you
them
do
fighting
that?
For wins. Well, you don't. It's got to develop naturally. They got to fight for wins, you know, each other, you know, maybe costing each other wins, you know, kind of deal. You know, knock somebody out last couple laps deal to take the win. If they go back and forth like that a little while, they could develop a good rivalry. It just can't see the problem with the rival with the way NASCAR is now. You'll get two drivers mad at each other, but then everything calms down and it blows over. You got to have it where it's sustained, you know. And
interesting,
you know,
yeah.
It kind of looked that way with Logano and Gibbs
and
for
Kenseth.
A while, but
and Kenseth.
Well, all of Gibbs, but especially Kenseth. But it's kind of Kenseth. Where's Kenseth? Is he even on the track anymore? I haven't seen Matt Kenseth do anything other than limp around mid the backpack all year. So, you know, he needs to either find his testicular fortitude and drive the car again or go home. he ain't anywhere to be seen on the track. At least I haven't seen him much. You know.
Sidekick, your thought. Is this new format, is it, in fact, discouraging rivalries?
I don't know. I like the new format.
I mean, in some respects, I kind of get that. I think that's what the author was going for. That by saying that, hey, we're going to hand out points, you know, all throughout the entire race. Well, in fact, what it's doing is it makes somebody like Truex, as you point out, Sidekick, and make somebody like Truex near the top of the leaderboard list. But, hey, I don't have to win as much. I just have to win the stages. So, you're not going to build rivalries that way. Right?
I don't know if we need rivalries that much.
Okay.
The only reason I say it is because sometimes they feel, you know, we've made plenty of jokes about, you know, comparing, you know, professional wrestling to NASCAR.
Right.
You know, and so, yes, I don't think we so much need rivalries per se as we need close finishes and good racing. As an example, at Pocono with Ryan Blaney with Kevin Harvick behind him, you know, and them, you know, back and forth. Last week with Kyle Larson, you know, there towards the, you know, the end of the race and stuff. That's what I really think we need. You don't necessarily need to have two drivers that are going at each other, you know, kind of like, you know, Joey and Matt were, or Kyle earlier in the season, you know, when he went after Logano. You know, because then it kind of comes off as, you know, look at the rednecks fighting, you know, kind of thing. You know what I mean? Whereas I would much rather see close finishes with two guys that, you know, aren't necessarily, you know, they're trying to push the limits, but they're not out there, you know, intentionally wrecking someone to, you know, to get a win. But, you know, a little bumper now and then, you know, tight racing, you know, maybe a little, you know, side panel, you know, action kind of thing, you know. That's what I think that we need to see more of.
Interesting. I'm just wondering whether, I don't know, you know, the whole concept of rivalry, and I've heard it many times. I've actually heard that argument made before, you know. Well, we kind of insinuated it a little bit earlier on in the program when we were talking about the corporate mentality. So we've even talked about it here, that the sport has gotten away from the spontaneity of it all. It's now a little more buttoned down. I don't know if you can create. Well, I guess maybe I'm looking at it wrong. As Brandon pointed out, you can't really create it. It's got to happen. It's almost got to happen by itself.
Here's what I'm getting at. When you go back and look at, like, even the years of Earnhardt, there was always somebody who was a rival to Earnhardt. It was either Bill Elliott, which also brought you the Chevy versus Ford. Sometimes it was Rusty Wallace, which was Pontiac, but then became Ford. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying they have to, you know, knock each other out and fight. I'm saying they need to fight for race wins, like Sidekick said. That's kind of, I agree with what he's saying. I think they need to, you know, grind it out for wins and go back and forth and you know, have, you got to get a rivalry from the sense of, okay, we're fighting for the win and we're fighting for the championship. Oh, and by the way, I'm a Chevy, you're a Ford, or, you know, I'm a Ford, you're a Toyota, whatever. I don't care what the combination is. But you got to get enough of a mix so that you can get fans on board. In other words, you're going to get there are some people who will root manufacturer, and you know, they don't really care who the driver is per se. If somebody's driving their manufacturer of choice, you know, they'll get behind them. So if you get, you know, consistently, like say you get even a Kyle Larson and a Dave Blaney going at each other, well then you can get Ford and Toyota or Ford and Chevy rather going back and forth. So I'd like to see happen.
Well, maybe the author then has a point, because I think what the author is saying, I think what the author is saying, if we're going to be rewarding drivers for every little thing along the way, well then you're not setting it up, as you're pointing out, Brandon, for that ultimate, hey, we got to fight for the win. Drivers can sit back and say, hey, I got the points I need for this week. That's all I need. I'm good. So
You are seeing some of that with these chase points, I think. Well, that's why I don't know what Kenseth has done this year. I don't know how he's done in the chase points. But it seems like he's always just riding around. He's never, you know, in the mix anymore. And we don't see that from any of the other Gibbs cars. They're up front. I mean, even Suarez is, you know, who's new to it's been up in the mix. Kenseth's been out to lunch all year.
Kenseth currently sits 11th in points.
That
believe
kind
that.
Of fits.
Yep. But it's above the cut line, isn't it now? So.
Yeah, well, we'll see, because as you pointed out, Christian's prophecy of 16 wins looks like it's
certainly got a chance, if not almost, you know, you almost got to think it's going to happen now with the numbers. And especially if you get a new winner today and Daytona could be unpredictable, you know,
yep.
or Earnhardt wins it. He hasn't won yet. That's still another new winner. So, I mean, you got some chances. You could see two new winners in the next two races. So
I think it'd be kind of neat if we had 16. I really do. I think it would be neat if it came down to points. You know, you get 17 winners. Now it comes down to points. I think that would actually be cool. All right. Well, let's do this real quick. Let's take a look at fantasy real fast. In our little league of 30 teams, who's leading the pack? Hey, I am. I don't know how that happened, honest to God, guys. I really don't. You know, listen, I'm the JGR guy. I should be having a horrible season, and yet I've got 3 wins. I don't know how that happened. I won at Pocono. But I'm sitting up at the top at number 1, Texas Ham. Greg, who we just heard from, that's Texas Ham, sits at number 2. Thunder Down Under is number 3. Number 4 is Pick Up the Handle. And number 5, is your very own Spring Rubber in the rear. There you go, Sidekick. You made it up to number 5 this week. So let's hear it from you. Now we got to get the race trim fantasy team in there. That's what we got to do next, Sidekick. So, what are you suggesting for that team this week? And let's see if it comes anywhere near as good as Mayan.
Man, this, I'm telling you, this is a roster here. So, Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr., Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Ryan Blaney, and, oh yes, Boris Said. Overvalued at $10. But come on.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't care. I spent the 10. I threw the money out on the table to put Sned on my team.
You're telling me that Boris Sned is actually more expensive than Danica Patrick?
By 75 cents, yes.
Holy smokes. What's wrong with
you?
I'd rather have Patrick. Sorry.
As we were discussing it, Brandon was saying he put her on her roster and stuff like that. And I'm looking I'm trying to figure out how to make some adjustments so I can fit Boris on and do some other stuff. And then I'm like, you know what? Danica's at 925 and I got 925. No. I moved somebody else and put Boris on. Anyway, but I'm going with Kevin Harvick for my winner. Ford for my manufacturer, and I'm going to go with Kevin Harvick for my Eat My Dust.
All right, there we go. I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm feeling pretty good about my fantasy team. I don't normally run down the entire roster, but guys, I got to throw this one out there and let's see what everybody thinks. Kyle Busch, Truex, AJ Allmendinger, Ryan Blaney, and Chris Buescher. Now, think about this. I got 5 drivers on there. All 5 of them are within the top 9 in qualifying order. Not bad.
Not good. That's going to mean you're going to be in the front. You're going to be in the front for the start, and if any of them have problems and fall back, you're going to lose all those place differentials. You got to mix it up a little.
Yeah.
You got to have a balance. You got to have somebody who's in the back that can move forward. When you front load the team like that, one accident's going to kill you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's the way I look at it.
I
try to do a mix.
That's why I don't like picking pole winners.
Yeah.
Too much.
They're going to win.
Well, you don't get the place differential. You don't get the place differential points, right?
And you don't get the passing points either.
Yeah. In fantasy, you do lose out a lot on the pole guy. If he goes back.
Yeah. You got to find a guy that those races where pole winners have a better chance and then go with it.
I mean, heck, look, Kyle did it last week, Kyle Larson.
Well, the statistics indicate this. At Sonoma, 54% of the winners come from the top five. 93% come from the top 15. So 93% of the winners come from the top 15. That's, I think you
got
to go
top
15.
Time here. We're probably just about out of time.
I built in a little extra time today, so we're good. The Eat My Dust standings, Sidekick 562. You lead all. NASCAR John at 516. I'm at 510. Brandon, you're at 484. Loyal listener Liz 476. And Christian at 322. Sidekick, you just went with Harvick. NASCAR John is going with Kyle Busch. I'm going to go with Martin Truex Jr. I frankly think that Kyle does not have the mentality today to run this race. Something's going to piss Kyle off, and he's going to end up run into his trailer and not talking to the media. Watch. Brandon, what say you? Who are you?
I am going with Martin Truex Jr. as well.
Okay. Loyal listener Liz is... Anybody want to take a guess? Who's loyal listener Liz go with? The Dinger. Oh, you should have guessed that. Allmendinger. A.J. Allmendinger. And Christian, I think you said earlier you're going with?
Clint Boyer.
Clint Boyer. All right. Okay. There you go. There's our lineup for today. All right. Thank you, Christian. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Many thanks as well to Greg for jumping in with us today from San Antonio. Many thanks to everybody that's been listening. Liz, in particular out there, up in Canada. Appreciate it. Make sure, everybody, please, that you're here with us on Thursday night for our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show. Number 302 coming your way, 7 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday night. And then I will be back here with you on Saturday afternoon, next Saturday, as we'll be into July at that point. So next Saturday, I'll be here with you, 2 p.m. Eastern time for another relaxed Frat House Saturday. All right. That's it for today. Hey, everybody, go enjoy the race. Catch you on Thursday night.